Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lent in Plain Sight, A Devotion Through 10 Objects by Jill J. Duffield, narrated by Nan McNamara. Introduction. God works through the ordinary. Ordinary people, everyday objects, things we bump up against moment by moment. From burning bushes to talking donkeys to a booming voice from heaven, God goes to great lengths to communicate with people, sending Jesus Christ, God's only Son, to unmistakably tell human beings about salvation, grace, and reconciliation. People of faith report epiphanies, revelations of God's word to them, sometimes by way of miraculous interventions or otherwise inexplicable happenings. But often, and also, through the mundane made holy due to timing and perception. The note from a friend arrived with the right words just when encouragement seemed utterly absent. A deer appeared as if out of nowhere after a voiced prayer for a sign. Often it is in hindsight that God's providence becomes recognizable and events previously considered mundane become evidence of God's presence and work in our lives. The question for us becomes, do we have the eyes to see God's near presence? Do we have ears to hear the word of the Lord spoken in a multitude of ways and languages? Will we open ourselves to the holy, not only in heaven, but also on earth and right in front of us? Can everyday objects remind us to stay awake and pay attention? This Lenten devotional invites listeners to open themselves to the kingdom of God, which is close at hand and in our midst. These 40 days beckon people of faith to a nearer following of Jesus and an awakening to the work of the Spirit in their lives and in the world. Each week of this book highlights an object, something we encounter in our daily living, things like coins, shoes, and crosses, and asks listeners to consider through these objects the possibility, the promise, that God is present, speaking, seeking to be in relationship with them. I hope this book opens our eyes and ears to the certain providence and power of God, allowing us to lower our anxiety about the future, lessen our burdens about the past, and free us to follow Jesus in faith right here and now. Perhaps if we truly trust that Emmanuel, God with us, never abandons us, we will worry less and risk more for the sake of the gospel. Perhaps when we see a stone, or hold coins in our hands, or pour out oil into a pan, we will remember that God loves and leads, transforms and heals, guides and intervenes in ways that offer us abundant life, an abundant life we are called to share with others. Perhaps contemplating these 10 objects will enable us to see God everywhere, in all things, all creation, not just during these 40 days of Lent, but every single day of the year, honing our sense of the holy to the point we feel God's presence every single moment, and act accordingly. Jill Duffield, Summer 2019. Week 1. Dust. Ash Wednesday. Genesis chapter 2, verses 4b through 7, Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Dust that clings. I have held the last of what remains of an earthly life in my hands. Whole people, now only ashes. Years of living reduced to fine rubble. Relationships, work, dreams packaged in a plastic bag to be scattered, buried, or put in a concrete square or ornate urn. Time after time, the wind has blown, or I have brushed my hand against my side, leaving a trace of the remains on my black robe of ritual sackcloth. It used to bother me, as I did not want those gathered to think I had carelessly handled the dust to which their loved one had returned. Eventually, I came to welcome the inadvertent imposition, a mark of the communion of the saints clinging to me as I worshipped. Every Ash Wednesday, I think of them, those who've gone to the grave, no longer needing to remember the reality of human finitude we speak plainly each year on the first day of Lent. I think about those I looked at in the eyes and said, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return," and then commended at their gritty restoration, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I miss them. I remember them even as I remember the one who gives us the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. I remember not only that I am dust and to dust I shall return, but I cling to the memory of those who've gone before me, even as they have clung to the hem of my impotent garment. I remember, because that cloud of witnesses gives me hope that I, too, might run the race set before me, and that someone, someday, will wear symbolic sackcloth while wrapped in a band of resurrection white, and pray I be recognized as a sheep of the fold of the Good Shepherd, a good and faithful servant who has finished her race. As the dust and ash is imposed on me, forcing me to see my myriad of limits, I remember. I remember I am surrounded by the household of God, sinners redeemed by grace, limited like me, but ever seeking to imitate Christ, however poorly. I remember that I am incapable of doing the good I know, but am forgiven anyway. I remember that even as I have shaken the dust from my feet in haste and without just cause, the Holy Spirit has sometimes blown the dirt on my head that I had thrown at others. I remember that repentance means turning away from myself and toward Jesus. I remember that nothing angers God more than rituals of penitence unaccompanied by actions of love. I remember that this Lenten journey is not only about giving up something, but also about standing up for someone. I remember that my years on earth will come to an end, and that, God willing, my works will follow me, and thanks to the journey Jesus is embarking on, I don't need those works to save me. Even as sin clings as closely as the gray remnants of ash on our foreheads, mercy surrounds us like a dust storm stirred up by the relentless wind of the Spirit. Remember. Repent. Turn and follow Jesus Christ, singing Alleluia even to the grave, until God raises him from the dead, and we are overcome with resurrection joy. Questions for reflection. 1. As you begin this Lenten journey, whom do you remember? Who has walked with you when you have reached your limits and helped you get through that difficult season? 2. Why do we need to be reminded of our finitude, our dustiness? How does God work within and through our limits? 3. When you encounter dust this week as you walk in the wind or on the side of the road, remember that you are dust, given life and breath by God, and give thanks for the day, the hour, the moment. Ash Wednesday Prayer. Lord God, giver of our every breath, as we begin our Lenten journey, send your Holy Spirit to blow the dust off whatever in or around us needs new life. Remind us of our limits so that we will once again experience your limitless power. May the ashes on our foreheads prompt us to live our lives in the shape of the cross, so that even when the ashes have been washed away, others will see in us the face of Christ. Amen. Thursday, Job chapter 30, verses 16 through 23. And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have taken hold of me. Job chapter 30, verse 16. ground to dust. The pain of Job's cries resounds through history in the laments of faithful people in every generation. Like Jesus from the cross, sometimes we encounter situations that cannot help but elicit from us the question, "Why, O God, have you forsaken me?" One of the strangely packaged gifts of Lent is the invitation to lay our souls bare before God. Like Job, like Jesus, like the psalmist and the prophets, we too demand God to account for the circumstances that confound our understanding of a good and faithful God. When we hear of news across the globe of innocents suffering, or we learn of a terminal diagnosis of a loved one, or we struggle with our own inability to get out of bed in the morning, we shout with Job, "I have become like dust and ashes. I cry to you, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you merely look at me." Verses 19b through 20. Do something, God. Intervene. Give a sign. Speak in a way that is undeniable and clear. God's silence echoes in the stillness of our grief, and we feel ground to dust. St. John of the Cross describes this state in Dark Night of the Soul. A dense and heavy cloud overshadows the soul, distresses it, and holds it as if it were far away from God. In the presence of this absence, time seems unmoving, and the darkness seems impenetrable. Life becomes an unending Lent with no Alleluias uttered. Escaping grief, loss, and suffering is impossible. When faced with inexplicable circumstances, asking why, and how long, O Lord, and where are you, God, are faithful prayers. When nothing remains of hopes or health, dreams or relationships, but dust and ashes, Lent offers the space to grieve unabashedly and without apology or embarrassment. And yet Sunday, the day of resurrection, cannot be stopped from coming. Alleluias may remain stuck in our throats, but nonetheless rebirth is proclaimed. Resurrection is promised even when we find ourselves weeping by the tomb. If you find yourself in a dark night of the soul, know you are not alone there. Job is with you. St. John of the Cross as well. Therese of Lisieux and Mother Teresa too. No other than Jesus abides with you there, in the wilderness, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and on the cross. Know, too, that like Lent, this season does not last forever. From the dust and ashes will come new, good life. Because the 40 days of Lent do not include Sundays. And Sundays, like the light of Christ, cannot be thwarted, no matter how deep the darkness. Questions for reflection. 1. Have you ever experienced a dark night of the soul? Were there glimpses of light in the midst of it? How did it impact your faith, your understanding of the character of God? 2. Take a few minutes to pray for those who may be feeling ground to dust this day. If you are feeling ground to dust and can muster no words of prayer, read aloud Psalm 23 or another passage of Scripture that is meaningful to you. Prayer for the day. Gracious God, when we cry to you and feel as if you do not hear us, grant us a tangible reminder of your promise to never leave us alone. When we feel ground to dust, unable to sing your praises or whisper a prayer, surround us with others who will sit with us, pray with us, and be the hands and feet and face of Christ to us. When the night has passed and we see the coming dawn, help us to bear the light of Christ to those who still sit in deep darkness until we all shout Alleluia on Easter morning. Amen. Friday, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. Raised up from the dust. Hannah sings of the great reversal that comes as a gift from God, promised and yet unexpected. Hannah prayed fervently, pouring out her heart, so much so that Eli the priest thought her drunk. Confronted for her inappropriate behavior in worship, Hannah holds nothing back from the priest, telling him she had been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 16. Eli, moved by her pain, tells her to go in peace, adding his hope that the Lord will grant her prayer for a child. God does indeed grant her petition. Samuel is born. And then Hannah prays this song to the Lord. Hannah prayed in her grief, and she prays in her joy. Her prayer of anxiety and vexation focused on her own suffering. But this prayer of praise includes all who suffer. The feeble, the poor, the needy. All of them God will raise up from the dust and make sit with princes in seats of honor. No one will be left in the ash heap. Hannah's mourning turned to dancing encourages anyone still desperate or destitute to keep hope. God will not forget you or leave you brokenhearted. When we are in the ash heap, looking up and around is almost impossible. All we can do is get through the day the best we can. Doing so uses all our emotional resources with nothing left over. But when we start to feel our burdens lifted, when God raises us from the dust, we begin to notice the pain of the world. Our season of suffering grants us a hard-won empathy that expands not only our prayers, but our actions as well. We know we are unable to fully rejoice in our great reversal until everyone has experienced relief from sorrow too. Reaching back to help raise others from the dust becomes the unexpected ministry of unwanted days in the ash heap. Countless times I have witnessed Hannah's song enacted in community. The cancer survivor walking alongside the newly diagnosed. The person now sober for 20 years sponsoring a neighbor who is anxiously attending AA for the first time. One woman I know works tirelessly on suicide prevention because she knows the unspeakable pain of burying her child who took his own life. Even when we've been raised from the dust, there are ashes that still cling closely, and we cannot forget those still mired in them. Hannah's song gets sung again and again when those who have been raised from the dust don't forget what it is like to be consumed with anxiety, perplexed, and covered in ashes. Hannah's prayer of praise gets mixed with the prayers of the suffering, bolstered by Eli's word of peace, and lifted from the dust when, in our gratitude for relief, we come alongside others until they are upright too. Questions for reflection. 1. Read each verse of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 aloud, and notice which verse or verses stand out to you. Use that verse as a breath prayer throughout the day. Make note of any observations or insights that breath prayer calls forth. 2. Must this great reversal entail both the bringing up of some and taking down of others? Why or why not? Prayer for the day. God of great reversals, you bring transformation, relief, peace, and joy in ways and at times that are utterly unexpected. When we find ourselves in the ash heap, grant us your peace. Assure us of your promises. Give us a glimpse of hope to sustain us. After we have been raised up from the dust, never let us forget what it was like to be so down. Use our remembering to reach back and help others, to sit beside them until they too know the grace of your transforming love. Amen. Saturday. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Luke chapter 9, verses 4 through 5. Shake off the dust. Why are Jesus' instructions to his followers so clear and simple, and yet so complicated and difficult? I cannot remember the last time I packed light, let alone took nothing when setting out on a journey. Nor do I say to myself as I start my day, "Well, good. I have all power and authority over demons and can cure diseases. Best to get healing and proclaiming God's kingdom." My days begin and end with much less lofty goals. Getting everyone out the door to their respective places and myself up and ready counts as a win. Not hurting anyone in my orbit often remains an elusive goal. But Jesus says, "Take nothing. You have the power of God. What more could you need? Also, don't worry about where to lay your head, nor whether you are well received. Go where you are welcomed. Move on where you are not. Shake the dust from your feet and keep going." Would that we could let go of rejection, failure, grudges, and anxieties by simply shaking the dust from our feet and trying again. If I can't leave all I own behind, though, could I let go of just a little? Give up some of the extra baggage I have carried and moved around for years? Lent affords us a time of giving up and letting go, not just of things, but of emotions that weigh us down, too. Guilt rarely moves us closer to the kingdom. Neither does shame or vengeance or grudges. Maybe, just for a day, I could leave that bag of ill feelings toward someone at home and see what it is like to walk around the world without having to carry it, drag it, keep track of it. If I don't imagine I can cast out demons or stand up to villains like a superhero, would it be possible to apologize and ask forgiveness from someone I have injured? Thereby, if not stamping out evil, at least creating space for good to grow? Could I, at least for today, shake the dust off my feet, look forward, keep moving, and simply try again to bring healing where I am able, share and show the good news wherever I am, and let God take care of the rest? Questions for reflection. 1. What staff, bag, bread, or extra tunic do you need to leave behind so that you can travel unencumbered today? 2. Is there dust you need to shake off? Something you need to turn over to God in order to focus on the journey ahead? Prayer for the day. Lord Jesus, you give us simple, clear instructions, and yet we complicate matters and fail to follow them. Forgive us for ignoring your teachings and going our own way. Help us this day to leave behind those things that prevent us from following you. Grant us the power to bring healing and proclaim the kingdom in ways that invite all we encounter to shake off the dust of pain they carry, confident that you welcome us and give us what we need. Amen. Week 2. Bread. First Sunday of Lent. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Daily bread. Oh, it's warm. As I said the words I've said countless times, the body of Christ broken for you, the woman in front of me tore a small piece of bread from the loaf and exclaimed under her breath, delighted, "Oh, it's warm." The round loaf in my hands was indeed warm, freshly baked and placed on the table just minutes before the Sunday morning worship service started. The smell of bread wafted through the small country sanctuary. The communion table, laden with silver trays, exuded formality, but the bread, warm and less than perfectly shaped, told the story of human hands, earthly grain, and the daily love required to feed people. I once calculated how many lunches I will have packed for my three children by the time they graduate from high school. Three children, 13 years of school each, approximately 180 days a year, equals 21,060 sandwiches made, apples washed, chips bagged, napkins packed, some with notes written on them. Never did I imagine so much of my life would be spent packing lunches, planning meals, shopping at the grocery store, cooking. Making sure those we love have their daily bread takes time, effort, energy, thought. Some days I liked the result, and they did too. Many days the daily bread I served was met with no less grumbling than that of the Israelites in the desert. Rarely did one of my children thank me for the effort or offering. Never did I tuck those juice boxes into their lunch boxes, needing their appreciation. I wanted to feed them, grateful to have the means and ability to do so. But one day, recently, I came downstairs to discover my youngest, now a junior in high school, making her lunch and her sister's, too. They were discussing the ideal ratio of peanut butter to jelly, noting their personal preferences. One likes more jelly, the other more peanut butter. One turned to me and said, "Mom, you know the perfect amount of each." The other agreed, "Yes, you make the perfect peanut butter and jelly sandwich." Who knew? Practice does indeed make perfect, I guess. In that moment, I felt delighted, surprised by the appreciation of such a simple, daily act, one completed over and over again out of necessity, yes, but also love. We need our daily bread. We need to eat. But we are sustained not just by the bread, but by the love with which it is made and given. We come to the table expecting to be fed, but are sometimes surprised by how we are nourished with the care that went into the preparation of the bread and the appreciation with which it is received. We exclaim with joy, "Oh, it's warm." Questions for reflection. 1. Who prepares or provides your daily bread? Be mindful of each meal today and give thanks for those who nourished you with food, care, and love. 2. When have you been responsible for feeding others? What was that like for you? What are some meals that are memorable to you? What made them so? Prayer for the day. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and keep us mindful of those who need to be fed. As we eat and drink, serve or are served, help us to be thankful for giving and receiving. We remember with gratitude all of those who nourish us with food, care, and support. May the daily bread we receive enable us to nurture others in your name. Amen. Monday, Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 through 12. I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Bread from heaven. Bread from heaven, my friend would say, when something needed appeared, be it money to pay a bill or a dress on sale in her size. Bread from heaven. God is good and right on time. I, in my privilege, would ascribe such happenings to luck, or wouldn't ascribe them to anything at all. Yes, the dress on sale is in my size, and darn it if it doesn't look good on me, too. Today is my lucky day, I would think or say, or simply take it to the counter and pay. Gratitude not part of the process. My friend who talked about being too blessed to be stressed and told me when I expressed worry to give it to the Lord in prayer, saw bread raining down from heaven everywhere. School supplies donated to the PTA. Bread from heaven. A parking spot close to the building on a rainy day. Bread from heaven. A job offer, rebate, or help with her kids. All bread from heaven. While I admired her ability to see downpours of loaves, I confess I also inwardly rolled my eyes and wondered if she was stretching the biblical metaphor. After all, if you read the account in
Sample complete. Ready to continue?